betrayed there for a second. Well, we want to thank you again for coming out once again to our Christmas Eve candlelight service. It's one of my favorite services of the year, one of the most beautiful, and I trust this evening has been a blessing to you so far, and a great reminder, again, of what the Christmas holiday is indeed all about. If you've been with us as a church for the last month, we have been examining the life of the Lord Jesus Christ from the perspective of the verse from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, that reads the following, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so, bearing that in mind, we looked at the Lord Jesus starting in eternity past, moving on to his advent here on earth during the Christmas holiday, to the present, to what Jesus is doing even right now, to finally, as we looked at this past Sunday, to how he will indeed return one day and come again, ushering in his final and complete heavenly rule. But that being said, during my studies this past month, there was one verse that I read that just kind of kept coming up in my studies as I was reading, and just for some reason, and it's found, it's the very last verse in the Gospel of John, chapter 21, verse 25, that reads the following. It says this, it says, "Now there are also many other things that Jesus did, and were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." Amen to that. And so we see here that while the Bible gives us this big and glorious picture of our Savior and the fullness of Christ, both past, present, and indeed future, that the Bible doesn't record everything about Jesus for us. And it couldn't. Nay, could all the books in the entire world fill all the things that Jesus did during that time, according to John? We read in the text of Scripture of his amazing miracles that he did while he was here on earth that, again, proved that he was the Son of God. Some of those we looked at this evening, even some of the prophecies made during the Scripture reading, as well as all the glorious things that he will do, as we looked at this past Sunday, when he indeed comes again. And but the one thing that we have to bear in mind is that all the things that Jesus did and will do are not written down. The Bible is not exhaustive in regard to that. Meaning that Jesus did so many miraculous things that according to John the Apostle, as it says, the world itself could not contain the books that could be written about Christ. And so, by virtue of this truth from John 21, if Jesus truly is the same yesterday, today, and forever, we should understand today that there are still miraculous things that Jesus is doing even today while we speak. There are still miracles, that Christ is still supernaturally at work today, moving and working in ways that we don't see or understand or comprehend. As I said, he is indeed performing miracles today. Miracles, by definition, being the supernatural, things that do not occur naturally. But the most powerful of those miracles that Christ is performing today that are outlined in the text of Scripture is indeed the salvation of sinners. Christ is at work today behind the scenes, mysteriously and indeed miraculously, moving in the hearts and lives of men, sinful men, to change them and to save them from the wrath that is to come. Because if we're honest with ourselves, we know deep down in our heart of hearts that we indeed need redemption. We need redemption. We know that we need the forgiveness of our sins. We know that we need salvation if we're honest with ourselves. But we also know that we can't do this on our own. We cannot save ourselves. Why is this? Well, because every time we try to earn our salvation or be good or righteous before God in some way, shape, or form, more evil, more sin just pops up in our lives. Is this true of you? It's true of me. Sinful thoughts, sinful actions, sinful attitudes. We know that they're wrong. We know that they're sinful, and we know that they're deserving of God's justice. And yet, what do? We just keep on doing them. Sometimes unconsciously, we just keep doing them over and over and over again. And so no matter if our works, our good works, are moral in nature or religious in nature, we know that even those works, even those great and glorious moral and religious works, are tainted by our sins. The Bible says that our righteousness is as filthy rags before God. And because we just keep on sinning over and over again, we know that there is no way that we can save ourselves. No way. There's no way that we can earn heaven. And thus, we have to come to the conclusion that we need to be changed somehow, spiritually. A spiritual awakening in our heart of hearts and our entire being needs to occur. Something outside of ourselves needs to mysteriously change us in order to make us new. Indeed, a miracle needs to occur in our lives if we are to be truly saved. The Gospel of John, chapter 3, tells us the story about the Pharisee Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night, and he came to him curious about who Jesus was. Of course, having heard about all of his miracles and his amazing life that he was living and his teachings about eternal life, and he obviously wanted to know more about this. So he came to him. Nicodemus was in a situation wherein he no doubt was wondering if, as a Pharisee, as a religious leader of that time, if all of his religious deeds that he was doing would be enough to earn him heaven, would be enough to earn him the forgiveness of his sins from God and a home in heaven. And Jesus responds to him in both a very intriguing but also very mysterious way. John chapter 3, verse 3 says this, "Truly, truly, I say to you," Jesus speaking, "unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Jesus then in that same passage goes on to explain that this new birth is a spiritual new birth, given miraculously by God alone. God is the one who causes us to be born again. That one must be, as he goes on to say in that same text, born of the Spirit, or born of the Holy Spirit of God. God, the Holy Spirit, if they are to believe and believe in the heavenly things, as Jesus called them, that he's talking about and taught in regard to salvation. God must teach them these things. And he explains that only when this new and miraculous spiritual birth occurs that a sinner can have true and saving faith. He says in that same passage in John 3, going down to verse 8, he says, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. And so it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." And thus, the one who has indeed been born of the Spirit or born again places their faith in Jesus Christ as a result. And thus, as a result of that, someday they will inherit everlasting life. As that same famous passage in John 3, verse 16 goes on to say, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And thus, we see that one of those other things, as John called it in John 21:25, one of those other things that Christ is doing right now as we speak is miraculously working in the lives of lost sinners. He is today mysteriously and indeed miraculously changing sinners from the inside out, creating this new birth. Proven how? Proven when someone places their faith in Jesus Christ. That is the proof of God's work in someone's life. And Jesus is currently doing this right now. He is currently performing that miracle. He is saving sinners like you and me today and will do so for you today if you would trust him fully tonight. Jesus can and will perform the miracle of the new birth tonight if you would but believe. And so let me just say this in conclusion tonight, that you are not here by accident, my friend. You are not here by accident. It was Christ, the God-man, who providentially brought you here tonight. It was Christ who put you in that pew here tonight to hear this gospel message. And it's Christ who put you in the situation right now where you will either have a choice of whether or not to accept or reject him before you leave out that door tonight. And thus, if you place your faith in Jesus Christ tonight, you will indeed have experienced Christ's power to save, and indeed the true miracle of Christmas. of what Christmas is all about. The miracle that is the shining light, the light of salvation shining so brightly in Jesus Christ, so that all those who might be searching for redemption, all those who may be searching for the payment for their sins, for forgiveness before God, might find it in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. And so I beg and plead with you tonight, if you have not done so, trust in Christ tonight fully. Surrender to his miraculous working in your heart of hearts and trust him fully and be saved tonight, Christmas Eve. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And I just want to say that if you need to talk to somebody about that message, it's called the gospel, the good news. If you want to know more, talk to me afterwards. And I'd love to share more with you. But Romans 10, 9 and 10 says in conclusion, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Amen. Praise God. And so I'm going to have a quick word of prayer, but in just a moment after that prayer, I'm going to ask everyone to stand, as is our tradition, and gather in a circle around the pews of the sanctuary, and make sure that kind of form a circle around the whole pews, nobody in the middle, and make sure that you have your candle with you. And then what we're going to do is we're going to dim the lights, and then I'm going to start in the front, and we'll start lighting our candles at the end of the service here, and we'll pass them around, and we'll conclude the service with the singing of Silent Night. But let's have a word of prayer really quick. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for this glorious, glorious message of your gospel. Oh Lord, that is the reason you came to this world in the first place. You came to save sinners. You came to pay for our sins upon the cross. You came so that all those who would put their faith in you would be saved. And so, Lord, I pray for any tonight who does not know you as Savior, that you'd be moving miraculously in their heart of hearts. Oh God, perform that miracle of salvation. Give the increase to the gospel and save as you will. May Christ indeed be the light of their life tonight. And may he indeed be the light of our lives as we celebrate his advent this Christmas. We love you and we give this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can start.